Welcome to the Alpha Woman Podcast, where we interview inspiring women from around the world with the hope that their stories and secrets will help you optimize your life physically, mentally, professionally, and financially. I'm Leslie Andrichuk, the CEO of Alpha Woman, and I'm so glad you found your way here. Today I'm interviewing Dr. Toni Reneau. She's a Chief Financial and Global Operating Officer at Neptune Wellness Solutions. Dr. Reneau is well known in business circles for accelerating revenue streams through acquisitions, corporate development, sales and marketing, and financings in the global healthcare and consumer product markets. Her professional career has included leadership roles in both public and private pharmaceutical and consumer product organizations, where she spearheaded acquisitions across Canada, Latin America, and India. Dr. Reneau has successfully facilitated the negotiation of international corporate alliances valued over $100 million and overseen a life science investment portfolio with $400 million under management. She held the position of general manager at Jubilant Draximage, a global leader in nuclear medicine with over $250 million in sales in over 22 countries. This is one accomplished woman. I can't wait to learn more in our interview. But before we dive in, I ask our guest to provide me with an inspirational alpha woman. Marie Curie, named Maria Salomea Sklodowska, was a Polish-born French physicist, famous for her work on radioactivity and twice a winner of the Nobel Prize. Born in November 1867 at Warsaw, Poland, she was remarkable even as a child for her prodigious memory. And at the age of 16, she won a gold medal on completion of her secondary education. In 1891, Sklodowska went to Paris and, now using the name Marie, began to follow the lectures at the Sorbonne. There she met physicists who were already well known, Jean Perrin, Charles Morin, and Aimé Cotton. Sklodowska worked far into the night in her student quarters garret, living on bread and butter and tea, and she came first in the Licence of Physical Sciences in 1893. She worked in Lippmann's research laboratory, and in 1894, she placed second in the Licence of Mathematical Sciences. It was in the spring of that year that she met Pierre Curie. Their marriage marked the start of a partnership that was to achieve results of world significance. Following Henri Becquerel's discovery of a new phenomenon, which she later dubbed radioactivity, Marie Curie, looking for a subject for a thesis, decided to find out if the property discovered in uranium was to be found in other matter, and she turned her attention to minerals. From the results of this research, she received her doctorate of science in June 1903 and, with Pierre, was awarded the Davy Medal of the Royal Society. Also in 1903, they shared with Becquerel the Nobel Prize for Physics for the discovery of radioactivity. The birth of her two daughters, Irène and Eve, in 1897 and 1904, did not interrupt Marie's intensive scientific work. She was appointed lecturer in physics at the École Normale Supérieure for Girls in Sèvres and introduced a method of teaching based on experimental demonstrations. In December 1904, she was appointed chief assistant in the laboratory directed by Pierre Curie. The sudden death of Pierre Curie due to a car accident in April 1906 was a very bitter blow to Marie, but it was also a decisive turning point in her career. Henceforth, she was to devote all her energy to completing the scientific work that she and Pierre had undertaken. In 1906, she was appointed to the professorship that had been left vacant on her husband's death. She was, in fact, the first woman to teach at the Sorbonne. In 1908, she became titular professor, and in 1910, her fundamental treatise on radioactivity was published. In 1911, she was awarded the Nobel Prize for Chemistry for the isolation of pure radium. In 1914, she saw the completion of the building of the laboratories of the Radium Institute, called the Institut du Radium, at the University of Paris. Throughout World War I, Marie Curie, with the help of her daughter Irène, devoted herself to the development of the use of X-radiography. Now at the highest point of her fame and, from 1922, a member of the Academy of Medicine, Curie devoted her research to the study of the chemistry of radioactive substances and the medical application of these substances. In 1921, accompanied by her two daughters, Marie Curie made a triumphant journey to the United States, where President Warren G. Harding presented her with a gram of radium bought as a result of a collection among American women. She was made a member of the International Commission on Intellectual Cooperation by the Council of the League of Nations. In addition, she had the satisfaction of seeing the development of the Curie Foundation in Paris and the inauguration in 1932 in Warsaw of the Radium Institute, of which her sister Bronislava became director. Marie Curie died as a result of leukemia caused by the action of radiation in July 1934. Her contribution to physics has been immense, not only in her own work, the importance of which has been demonstrated by the award to her of two Nobel Prizes, but because of her influence on subsequent generations of nuclear physicists and chemists. In 1995, Marie Curie's ashes were enshrined in the Panthéon in Paris. She was the first woman to receive this honor for her own achievements. So thank you, Dr. Toni Renaud, for being on our Alpha Woman podcast today. It's such a pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me here.
So before we dive into our interview, tell us why you chose Marie Sklodowska-Curie as your inspirational Alpha Woman.
Yes, so she's a lady of the 20th century. And even if you would put her into the 21st century, she would still be avant-garde. So she was a scientist, and I've spent all my life in healthcare, in science. And, you know, girls in science are still, you know, even today, a front runner. And she did it in the early 1900s. So I think this is very impressive. And she was in a very modern relationship with her husband, where they worked together in the lab. And, you know, back then that was rather unusual. And I find this is really inspiring for girls to kind of, you know, copy these type of, you know, healthy relationships. And she was worked in medicine, and she worked for the greater good, even to their, her own, you know, kind of health demise. So I think, you know, this was very inspiring. It's always very inspiring. And, you know, I come from the nuclear medicine industry, and seeing, you know, how nuclear medicine is helping people, sick patients, knowing that it pretty much goes back to a single woman is very inspiring.
Absolutely. What an incredible woman. And she was also the recipient of at least one Nobel Prize, was she not?
She won the Nobel Prize, and she actually shared it with her husband. But what I found interesting with her as well, in addition to winning this prize, is she was already a world citizen. You know, today often people, they call themselves a world citizen, but she came from Poland, worked in France back then, and in other European countries. So she, you know, she was really avant-garde, you know, even in that early part of the century.
What an inspirational woman. Thank you for choosing her. So now we'll shift gears a little bit. Tell us about, so you have been at Neptune Wellness Solutions for about a year or so. So tell us about what the company does, what they produce and sell, and for whom.
So at Neptune, we are a health and wellness company. So we produce and acquire health and wellness brands. And this is a very large spectrum. It's from organic food, beverages, to personal care, to hygiene products, and all the way to now legalized cannabis in Canada, including CBD products, which have a lot of therapeutic applications in pain management, in inflammation, and anxiety. And coming from the healthcare industry, for me, having products which are helping, you know, consumers and patients is just always very inspiring. And it's an environment which is purpose-driven at Neptune, and that's what I like.
And Neptune has been around for more than 30 years. And so what caused Neptune to shift into the cannabis business? Was this a natural evolution?
So Neptune has been around for quite some time. It is a publicly traded company on the NASDAQ and the TSX stock exchange. And Neptune in their early days was a company focused on nutraceuticals and especially had krill products, which are omega, advanced omega formulation, which are good for cardiovascular health, and developed those formulations. And these formulations are based on extraction technologies where you extract these oils out of biomass, which could be, you know, animal biomass or other types of biomass. But these are sophisticated extraction technologies, which, you know, sometimes are patent protected. And cannabis is a biomass, and the products out of cannabis are extracted products. So there was a natural a natural progression into the cannabis space when the company saw that cannabis would be legalized in Canada.
Right. And so you came on about a year ago. So what is your role currently at Neptune, and what is your mission?
So my role, I'm Chief Financial Officer and Global Operating Officer of the company. And our mission as a company is really to transition now fully into the consumer packaged goods and building these brands. So on the cannabis side, building, you know, cannabis brands here in Canada for Quebec and the rest of the Canadian market. It's also to expand on our organic baby food brands and personal care brands. So we are in the, our mission is to establish ourselves as a disruptive innovator in the personal care and with a high degree on social responsibility, environmental friendly, and sustainability.
I see. So you will be developing more consumer facing brands in the future?
For sure. We are an innovator. And in order to be surviving in the marketplace today and with very fast-moving consumer trends, you need to be at the forefront of product development and innovation.
Right. And I noticed that you had worked at Neptune way back in 2007. What did you do at the company back then, and why have you returned?
Interestingly, I was Vice President Corporate Development and Investor Relations. And when it was always inspiring back then to work for Neptune with this mission of, you know, nutraceuticals and functional food and making consumer lives better. And the reason I returned are much more personally, and I returned for our CEO, Michael Camerata, who is a very young CEO, and he is an innovator and a visionary, and I believe that there is no one like him who understands consumer trends and sees around the corner.
And you have such an interesting mix of academics and even your academic journey and also professional experience that must make you just a perfect fit for what Neptune is trying to achieve. So take us through your academic journey.
Yeah, I'm a chemical engineer and I have a PhD in biophysics. So, I'm really a scientist. And this is, again, why Madame Curie was so inspiring to me on the personal side. But I always liked business and I always liked sales and I like the environment of, building businesses. So rapidly, I had to add to my scientific knowledge and then did an MBA at McGill University in Montreal and became a chief financial officer. But then it always haunted me that, the accounting side of the finance side. I was pretty good on corporate finance and risk management, but the technical side. So I said, what the heck? I also did a master in accounting. And then we are living in a fast moving world and we need to understand artificial intelligence, if we want to be leaders of organization, that's the future. So yes, I did a certificate in artificial intelligence at MIT.
And as a young woman, what was it that drew you to science?
You see, back then, I still feel that even today, if you look at universities and you look at certain programs, engineering, there are still not that many girls in those programs. It's getting more and more. But even back then, there were just not that many girls in science. But it always came naturally to me. And I just, whenever I saw something, my next question was, but give me more details. I want to understand more and more. And science always kind of fed this intellectual, curiosity. And how often it is, I think many people can relate to this. In science, I had a good teacher at school back then. And, I liked his approach. And, he was an influencer. And I think, teachers today in college and CJEPs and secondary, their influence that they can have on a person's life is really immeasurable.
Absolutely. And do you think that females can bring something different and unique and needed to science?
Not only that they can, but I certainly believe that they do. I think we have, as women in science, what I've observed over the year, I've spent all my life in healthcare, and healthcare is science, is that women tend to be very rigorous, very disciplined, very data-driven, and that's really important in science because you cannot cut round a corner. Your data will not tell you what the data are telling you. You really need to be close to the data. And I think that comes naturally to women being very, rigorous and detail oriented and, really, having less of an ego and just let the data do the talking.
And what advice would you give to young girls who are attracted to science but, maybe dissuaded? What advice would you give to them?
Full throttle. That's always what I say in life. Full throttle. Don't spend so much time, and that's also for career development. Don't spend so much time about thinking what other people are thinking and about doubting yourself and about the monologue in yourself. Just go for it and allow yourself to make a mistake. If you subscribe to engineering and you say later, hey, I like chemistry or I like biology, by all means, switch, but go for it.
And so at what point in your career was there a moment of epiphany where you said, you know what, I really want to be in business and marry my scientific career with business? Or did it happen flowingly, naturally?
Absolutely not. I had finished my PhD and my husband and I, after the PhD, we had three children. And, he got a transfer to Germany. So we said, what the heck, pack up the three children and move to Germany. He worked at the university there. So I had to look for a job. And I like sales. I'm a born salesperson. And I just went for into a medical advisor, as a medical advisor. So these are, you know, a medical representative. And I loved it. I loved the sales side. So people told me, hey, if you do this, you can never go back into a lab. And I never regretted that.
Interesting. So you discovered that the people-to-people contact was kind of thrilling for yourself.
Absolutely, you know, absolutely. I don't see myself, you know, I like teamwork. And I think in the environment where I am now, I'm getting a lot of it. And I like that.
Mm. So now at this point in your career, when you could probably choose a number of different industries to work in and countries or companies, why go into cannabis? I mean, this is still an illegal plant and stigmatized in most countries in the world. We're very advanced here in Canada. So what drove that choice for you?
For me, first of all, you know, cannabis is a plant-based. And a lot of drugs in the pharmaceutical industry, including life-saving drugs in oncology and cancer treatments, are plant-based. Nobody would ever not take a Taxol because it's plant-based. So sometimes stigmas are building without people understand why they are there and if those stigmas are useful and are helping patients and consumers. So that's an overall comment. Personally, for me, is to say, if you want to be disruptive, if you want to be innovative, if you want to have your head sticking out of the masses, you have to go where people are not going. Okay, and for me, that's certainly where I feel, you know, very at home, and I feel very at home at Neptune with that.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that Neptune is in Quebec, because Quebec is the province with, Manitoba is also skating on that ice, but has the most restrictive laws around the recreational aspects of cannabis. So why do you think that Quebec has gone in that direction?
Good question. I think, and, you know, of course, I'm, you know, now speculating because I'm not writing the rules, but if you look at Quebec, in, you know, for from other areas, medical areas, I think there's a high degree of social responsibility that as a society, and you know, this is still a new market. We want to make sure that those products are safe for human consumptions, and you know, if you want to move away from the black market into a controlled market, you need to give your consumer trust in your products, that they are heavily regulated and that they can be taken. Also, there are new consumers to the market, so you want to make sure that those consumers, they have positive experience and are safe. So I can imagine, Leslie, that is, you know, a rationale for strong regulation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I see that you were also instrumental in helping position Quebec as an international hub in the biotech and life sciences industries through your work on the board of directors of BioQuebec. So do you think that Quebec can create a similar opportunity in any part of the cannabis industry in the future?
I would love Quebec to take that leadership role, because no province is really currently taking that leadership role. I would love Quebec to take that leadership role, and I think it would come naturally to Quebec, because it was always a very strong hub for biotechnology, R&D, and pharma. And I would love to see the same applying to the cannabis world, because what I believe is that this is such a young industry and there is still so much innovative potential in this industry that, you know, positioning yourself as an hub early and being an innovator, this will not only provide visibility through Quebec and Canada, but worldwide. There are over 40 countries currently considering cannabis legalization. So if you are from a country where there was strong regulation with a strong innovative and R&D power and new products, you stand out of the masses. And I would love Quebec to take that leadership role, yes.
And does anything need to be done within the legal framework to nurture that opportunity or to make that opportunity happen?
The regulatory framework, both in Quebec and Canada, is constantly evolving, and rightfully so, because you see, you want to you make sure that the consumer is safe, but consumer behavior is also changing, and you want to make sure that only reputable company who are following a rigorous production process, rigorous quality control, release processes, are the ones who can really put those products into the consumer market. So yeah, regulatory changes are constant, and it as an organization, as a company, it's our responsibility to adapt quickly to them. And this is why also I always believe, and we are working on a very high quality level, the highest quality, similar to a pharma quality level, because I think that protects you from not being up to par with these changing regulations.
Right. And it must also give you that opening into working on a global level. So if you're at that top global quality level, then you can have those conversations.
You can go wherever you go because you know you can always meet those international regulations. Exactly.
Does that differentiate Neptune from other companies in Canada working in the same space?
I believe so. I believe the fact that we have a very strong focus on innovation and on quality and on product development and on delivery, and that we are not afraid of making mistakes. We will be launching SKUs that the consumer doesn't like or says, you know, this is not for me. And we have to twist and learn and improve. And we shouldn't be afraid of that. And I think, yes, that sets that mindset of having the courage of being an innovator, I believe, sets Neptune apart.
I can well imagine, especially in the globe, what we've seen across the globe in the past year, being an innovator and being that kind of nimble, creative company must be tremendously important. So especially, you know, you joined the company just as the pandemic hit. So as the global operating officer, how did COVID impact your operations globally and locally?
As every organization, and, you know, we are a central service. So we were, you know, open 24/7 throughout the whole pandemic year. And at the same time as it opens new opportunities for Neptune in the health and wellness space, it also provides a lot of challenges. I'm thinking about international freight and logistics. And, you know, these were things that were hurting. It's our responsibility to work through it. But I think the most important challenge is really to keep our employees safe. Over the year, and you know, I'm proud to say that I think we achieved that. And you know, you need to follow the rules, but I think we also learned a lot with you know, télétravail and Zoom, and it's kind of as a collective learning curve for an organization. So I think you know, everybody needs still to be cautious. We are not at right at the end of the curve, but I'm really proud how our employees pulled through.
And what three pieces of advice would you give our Alpha Woman community about building a successful career over the journey of your life?
Oh my!
I think of the 40 years.
I will give you more than three.
Okay.
Ten. First of all, I think 80-20. Girls are working well too hard. Okay. They are, you know, they don't go for 80. They don't go for 90. They don't go for 100. They go for 100, 110. But you know what? Achievements never get you anywhere. So stick with the 80-20 and save your sanity. And girls often, they want to work alone because then it's really neatly done. You know, then I'm getting to the 115%. No, don't work alone. Share it and be successful and talk about it. Often we are very modest and humble and we don't want it. We let others talk about our success. No, go out and spread the message. And raise the hand. Don't wait till other people appoint you. If there is a director or a manager position open, raise your hand. I am interested. We can say that. We don't have to wait till other people say, hey, Tony or Leslie, I can imagine you in that position. Go out there. Network. So, for example, don't stay in your comfort zone. Don't network just with your lady friends and go out for lunch. Go out with the CFO. Go out with the CEO. Start mingling at this. Go into the circle. And then the last I would say, as girls, is stop being afraid of making mistakes. We are so gifted in beating ourselves up when we make a mistake instead of just moving along. Stop the internal dialogue about, oh my God, and this is so embarrassing. It's not. It's just a mistake. Move on. So these are kind of the things that I'm thinking about when building a career.
Those are excellent pieces of advice. And I want to ask you about your life partner, because something that really struck me about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Marie Curie is that they had partners who just uplifted them and celebrated their incredible intellect and what they had to give to the world. So has that been the journey with your life partner?
My husband and I, we are university sweethearts. You know, we have three children, which are all grown up now and, have been together for 30 years. And I consider him my life partner. And I think we have the right to be living in a partnership of equals. It doesn't have to say everything has to be done equal, but my needs are important, as important as his needs. And I think if you are lucky enough to be living in a strong partnership, enjoy.
And Tony, what gave you this bravery and sort of clearness of who you are, even at such a young age? Were your parents people who believed in your dreams, or did you just have this sense of who you were? How did you negotiate that?
You see, my mother is a Second World War child, and I'm a post-war child. My mother never went to school in her younger age. She all did her training at a very, very advanced age and, you know, moved up the career ladder. So I was lucky because, you know, when I was young, people would tell, why is she going to school? She can't start working in the factory. Just, you know, this is not useful, this whole, you know, studying. And my mother always says she can study as long as she wishes. So my mother was always about, and this is, I have adopted the same, is about just go out there and do it. If you don't like it, do something else. If you like it, continue. Don't be so concerned with what other people are thinking and what other people are doing. Just have fun and go full throttle. That's what she asked us to do, and that's what I'm doing.
Perfect. She sounds like an inspiration.
Yeah, she is somebody. She's probably, I would probably put her just before or after Madame Curie.
Well, I oddly enough, many of the women that I talked to are like, can I nominate my mom as my inspirational alpha woman? I went, well, yes, but no. So she'll be your second, and that's perfect. Now, do you have any self-care rituals that you can share with us, especially in this challenging time that we're living through?
Self-care, yeah. I think especially women, they don't do enough self-care, don't they? They're always concerned with self-care of others than the children and the partners and the family and even friends and the neighbors and the community.
So, and the pets.
And the pets. Self-care and even just the cleanliness of the apartment and the house. So self-care is for many women is kind of what? That, how do you spell that word? I believe in self-care, I must say. For me, self-care is, for example, working out. I work out because, you know, that's I leave bad energy, you know, anxiety there, and or if I'm fussed about something or angry or frustrated, I leave it there and then I come back with positive energy. Mm-hmm. And with my husband, I like ballroom dancing. My husband and I, we are doing ballroom dancing for 10 years.
Fun.
And yeah. Just going out there and having fun. And a lot of friends are, you know, they tell me, oh, Tony, I would love to go with my husband ballroom dancing, but he doesn't want to. And my answer to them, that's irrelevant. It's not what he wants. It's what he has to do. It is his obligation to go with you. I don't care if he wants it or not. If you want to go and it makes you feel go, he has to go. And he has to learn to like it because that's a gift from him to you. Don't give him the gift of not living this because he's too comfortable in his zone. Make him giving this as a gift to you.
Perfect. I love it. Now, tell us a little bit as we close the interview, what's coming up for Neptune this year that you can share with us? Any products or brands that we can be excited about?
Yeah, these are exciting times at Neptune. You know, you should keep us on your ticker symbol somewhere because always something positive will come out. Health and wellness, it allows for many new products to come out, many new brands. So I think, you know, continuously you will see new brands and new products and I think innovative products which with an edge, with something which is more sustainable. So why do I have to buy my nutraceutical this way? Why cannot buy it in another way, which is much more better for the environment, much more eco-friendly, much more sustainable? These are the things that we are thinking about. They are in product development. So, yeah. You know, keep us on your radar because there are many beautiful things to come.
I will. I'm really excited. That is so needed. I'm super, super excited to see what Neptune comes out with. And it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show today, Tony. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you very much, Leslie. And thank you, everybody out there for listening. And everybody stay safe.
Thank you to Dr. Renaud for joining us today. Dr. Renaud has had such a fascinating career. It's wonderful to see her apply her vast experience and skills in the global cannabis arena. We're excited to announce that we have podcast sponsorship opportunities available. Please reach out to hello@alphawomanco.com for more information. Review and rate our podcast and follow us on social media at Alpha Women Co. wherever you are. Thanks for tuning in. Stay safe out there, dear Alpha Women.